Radio. Coming up is the news.
Israel gives the green light to double its settler population in the occupied Golan Heights 40 years after it annexed the Syrian territory. The Gaza Strip registers its first case of Omicron as the enclave struggles to contain the spread of COVID-19 amid the Israeli blockade. And the surge in COVID cases ground hundreds more flights and ruined Christmas plans for millions worldwide. Appreciate you being with us. The Israeli regime approves a plan to double its settler population in the occupied Golan Heights.
Friends, this is our moment. This is the moment for the Golan Heights. A combination of circumstances has led us to take today a dramatic government decision to channel considerable resources, around $300 million, to strengthen communities in the Golan Heights. After many static years regarding the scope of community life, our goal today is to double the population of the Golan Heights.
Prime Minister Naftali Bennett unveiled the plan earlier on Sunday during a weekly cabinet meeting. Around 25,000 Israelis are currently living in the occupied Golan Heights. Israel annexed the territory in December of 1981, a move never recognized by the international community. Syria has repeatedly reaffirmed its sovereignty over the Golan Heights and demanded an end to Israel's occupation of the area. Now, the Palestinian Authority has urged the international community to adopt practical measures to protect Palestinians against Israeli settlers' increasing violence. Hundreds of Palestinians have already been injured in the recent attacks by Israeli settlers in the occupied West Bank. Mona Kandil brings us more from the West Bank.
Tensions in several areas in northern West Bank have been high in the recent days, particularly in the village of Burqa, northwest Nablus. On Saturday night, over 250 Palestinians were wounded by the Israeli forces in Burqa, one day after thousands of Israeli settlers attacked the village under the protection of Israeli army. The Palestinian Authority held the Israeli regime fully responsible for what it described as expansionist colonial war. The PA also called on the international community to put pressure on the Israeli regime to stop its aggression and settlers' violence.
The only side which should be held accountable is the Israeli regime. It's responsible for the increasing violence by the Israeli settlers against the Palestinians. It also bears responsibility for a dangerous escalation likely to happen in the occupied lands.
The Palestinian factions have said the settlers' organized terrorism requires the development of a popular action in various ways. This means forming popular guard and protection committees to defend the Palestinians and repel settlers' attempts to storm Palestinians' villages and towns. Anti-settlement organizations have warned that if the settlers' systematic attacks are not stopped, they will turn into real massacres against Palestinians.
I think if it continue like this, it could lead to a disasters, maybe massacres. We don't know, but the way that they are attacking the people, the way that they are attacking the houses, trying to enter inside the villages, to enter houses and beat the people there to the extent of killing, shows us that this has to be stopped and has to be confronted strongly by the Palestinians.
Almost 10 days ago, Israeli army imposed military reinforcements after an Israeli settler was killed in the Israeli settlement of Homish near the village of Burqa. Since then, tensions have been high as Israeli forces installed several makeshift checkpoints around the cities of Jenin and Nablus. Thousands of settlers have visited the site over the past days and terrorized Palestinians.
Today, Palestinians in many areas are again facing violence and attacks from both
armed settlers and Israeli forces. Different political powers say there's an urgent need for stepping up all forms of resistance against Israel. Palestinians call for an international protection, along with dismantling of all Israeli settlements. Mona Qandil, in front of the Israeli military checkpoint of Beit El, North Occupied Ramallah.
Meanwhile, a new challenge to Gaza's fragile health system, the territory under an Israeli blockade for over 14 years now, reports its first Omicron case.
We announced the registration of the first case of the Omicron strain in the Gaza Strip, and this confirms that this virus will spread on a large scale, as it is spread throughout the world of which we are a part.
The health ministry says the patient is a Gaza resident who was infected within the territory. The Gaza Strip has a population of 2.2 million. It has registered nearly 190,000 COVID cases and almost 1,700 related deaths since the start of the pandemic. Now there are fears that the Palestinian territory will run into trouble. That's because Omicron spreads fast and Gaza's health system is not well equipped due to the Israeli blockade. The system has repeatedly been hit by crises in the past amid shortages of supplies. Ashraf Shannon in Gaza says Palestinians there have to brace themselves for the worst COVID situation amid the shortages of medical supplies caused by the Israeli blockade.
The discovery of the first case of the Omicron variant today came as a shock for Palestinians in Gaza. Now people here have to brace themselves for the worst, as this is the cold winter season, also the flu season, and Gaza been hit hard with the COVID-19 since last year, especially that the Israeli regime continues to place tight restrictions on the entry of medicines, medical supplies. Israel refuses to allow medical supplies to come into Gaza. They're not allowing spare parts to come in to fix the equipment that are breaking down because of the use and because of the unstable power supplies in Gaza, and this reminds me of the situation with electricity. People with COVID-19 and people who are on hospital beds need electricity 24/7, and this is very hard to obtain in Gaza, where you have 8 hours of electricity and nearly 12 hours of outages.
Well, 2021 was the year of Palestinian solidarity and unity in the face of continued Israeli aggression and occupation. During the year, Israeli authorities systematically repressed and discriminated against Palestinians in ways that far exceeded justifications they often provided. The following report details major developments that made headlines over the past year.
Prison is a disturbingly common experience for Palestinians. Since 1967, around one-fifth of Palestine's population has, at one time or another, been in prison. But the issue of Palestinian prisoners went viral on September 6th when the alarm at Israel's heavily guarded Gilboa prison went off following a jailbreak by six Palestinian inmates. Israeli authorities launched a manhunt for the inmates and toughened the situation for the rest of the prisoners, which prompted protests and hunger strikes that lasted for weeks. The spotlight, however, fell on six hunger-striking Palestinian prisoners who were protesting their detainment without any trial under an Israeli policy dubbed administrative detention. On November 7th, some 4,500 Palestinian inmates went on a day-long hunger strike in solidarity with the six. Two of the hunger strikers, who had refused to eat for over 3 months straight, were later released. The strikes have shed new light on the plight of Palestinians in Israel's massive prison system, which currently holds over 4,500 political detainees and inmates on dubious charges. On top of that, Palestinian residents have been subject to violence by Israeli settlers who remain immune from any consequences. If anything, like the raid on the Palestinian village of Jalud in mid-May, Israeli troops come to the aid of the settlers and arrest the victims, not the aggressors. Rights groups say violent settlers are just another tool in Israel's inventory to remove the Palestinians from their lands. Their population is growing fast as the number of settlements built and planned to be built on the occupied territories are rising sharply. Israel pressed ahead with its land grab and expansionist policies like the many years before. It has razed, forced people to demolish or seize multiple Palestinian-owned structures, including in East Al-Quds. In fact, such practices by Tel Aviv increased about 21% in 2021 compared to the year before. Israel has been increasingly evicting Palestinians from their homes, arguing that they lack permits. But it's virtually impossible for the Palestinians to obtain permits in areas including Area C and East Al-Quds. The evictions are usually done on such short notice that the residents cannot take the matter to the court. The United Nations says Israeli authorities have refused to grant permits to at least a third of Palestinian homes in East Al-Quds, potentially placing over 100,000 residents at risk of displacement. Israel's plans to evict several families from the East Al-Quds neighborhood of Sheikh Jarrah, however, sparked an outcry that reverberated across the international community. Protests against the plan, especially those around the Al-Aqsa Mosque, turned violent, with Israeli troops cracking down on Palestinian demonstrators and storming the holy site in early May. That coincided with the holy Muslim month of Ramadan. The tension sparked a conflict between Palestinian resistance groups in the Gaza Strip and the Israeli military in what turned into an 11-day war on the besieged enclave. The Israeli army razed several structures in the Strip, including a high-rise building that housed the office of several media outlets in Gaza, including the Associated Press and Al Jazeera. The Israeli atrocities drew widespread condemnation, with people around the world holding rallies in solidarity with the Palestinian people. Some observers believe the war was a distraction from a lingering political uncertainty in Israel and Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas's decision to postpone parliamentary elections that could have been a referendum on his rule. 2021 was a tragic year for Palestine. The events that unfolded over the past year proved that despite what some Arab nations claim, their normalization with Israel did not help the Palestinian cause, but might have even emboldened Tel Aviv to escalate its aggression on the Palestinians. The past year, however, was a year of unity and solidarity too, with Palestinians concluding that resistance is the only means to truly stand against the occupation and fight for freedom. The incidents and headlines in the past 12 months also raised awareness for more people across the world of how life is like for a Palestinian.
Now, the Yemeni army has just announced new military achievements against the Saudi-led coalition at war against the impoverished country for nearly 7 years now. Well, the army spokesman said they seized over 1,200 square kilometers in the northern Al-Jouf province from Saudi-backed forces. Yahya Saadi said the province is now almost completely liberated. He added the Saudi-backed forces suffered heavy human and material losses. Saadi said the Yemeni army will respond to attacks with attacks and will carry out unique and special operations to defend Yemen. The official said the army seeks to enter a new round of legitimate confrontation with the enemy. He called on all Yemenis to actively join the fight for freedom and independence. The Christmas travel chaos continues across the world. Hundreds more flights facing cancellation and delays due to the surge in the new COVID variant Omicron. According to a flight tracking website on Sunday alone, nearly 1,100 flights were scrubbed worldwide. There were thousands of delays as well. Now, it's the third day that a staff shortage caused by a rise in COVID cases has placed airlines in a dilemma. Overall, more than 6,000 flights have been canceled over the long Christmas weekend. Now, the Chinese airlines are the most affected, with China Eastern scrapping more than 1,000 flights in just 2 days. American airlines are also hit hard by the crisis. On Saturday alone, almost 1,000 flights originating from or headed to U.S. airports were canceled. Now to the UK, where Britons are getting more and more negative about Brexit, only a year after the UK left the European Union. And that's what a recent poll shows. A survey by Opinium reveals that more than 6 out of 10 voters believe Brexit has either gone badly or worse than they expected. Also, 42% of the people who voted leave in 2016 now have a negative view of the deal. The poll comes close to the anniversary of the agreement and a week after British Minister in charge of Brexit, Lord Frost, resigned. The UK left the European Union a year ago after reaching a trade deal with the bloc. However, the two have failed to close the remaining gaps in post-Brexit trading arrangements, and the supply chain crisis triggered by the COVID pandemic has worsened the situation. South Africa's anti-apartheid icon Desmond Tutu dies at the age of 90 after decades of fight against injustice. Tutu, South Africa's first black Anglican archbishop, was receiving treatment for prostate cancer at a hospital in Cape Town. President Cyril Ramaphosa says his death marks another farewell to a generation that struggled for the liberation of South Africa. Tutu won the Nobel Peace Prize in 1984 for his campaign against the country's previous brutal system. A decade later, he witnessed the downfall of that regime. Tutu was also an outspoken critic of Israeli crimes against Palestinians. He believed Palestinians have been subjected to Israel's systematic humiliation similar to the one practiced in apartheid South Africa. And with that brings us to the end of this World News Bulletin. Thank you all so much for staying with us.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
Little about yourself.
I'm Eric Shimanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of writing.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, December 26, 2021. I'm Atef Erfani, hosting this program today. As you may know, Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages from around the world. So, contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. Tell us which program or programs you like the best. If you have any message for our listeners around the world, then you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard. Do remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. And on behalf of IRIB English Radio staff, we congratulate you and, of course, our Christian listeners on the birth anniversary of Prophet Jesus, the Messiah, peace upon him, and on the occasion of Christmas. Merry Christmas to our Christian listeners. We wish all people around the world, especially our listeners around the world, peace, love, joy, health, and good tidings on this Christmas and the New Year 2022. Keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, the Sunday program and of course, your program. And as usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very helpful to us in IRIB English Radio, especially to our technicians and engineers. You know why? Because these reception reports enable us to provide a better service to our listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an EQSL card, an electronic QSL card, of course, in the time of pandemic. So here, I sent my appreciations to those of our listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Konstantin Barsenko from Russia, Bruce Lee from Australia, and Bill McDavid from the US. And of course, we have received many emails and letters from around the world, which I mentioned some of their names here, and later during the program I will read their emails or letters. Most of these emails and letters are focused on the Christmas and the New Year 2022. First of all, thank you for sending us these emails, and let me read the names of those of our listeners who have sent us these emails. First of all, we have an email from Igor Belevich from Belarus, who has recently joined us. Konstantin Barsenko from Russia has sent us an email. Toshio Shibata, one of our old and regular listeners from Japan, has sent us an email. From India, we have an email from P.S. Sukar. And the last but not the least is an email from Australia from Martin Sainer, one of our old and regular listeners. So, stay with us, please. After a short break, I will be back with these kind emails. Welcome back. Well, before this program was started, I was just checking these emails, and I found that most of them are focused on Christmas, congratulation messages, and sharing the experiences in Christmas. And those experiences were so sweet, and it made my day. As I said, we have received an email from Belarus from Igor Belevich. Let's see what he says. I live in a city called Ivatsevichy, Belarus. Yes, Ivatsevichy. I remember my childhood and how I would celebrate New Year and Christmas together with my parents and my younger sister when I was a schoolboy. That is 1992-21. In our four-room apartment in Ivatsevichy. Also, 2006 Christmas was a very good year because an Australian SW radio station sent me a radio receiver as a gift and made my day. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Igor Belevich from Belarus, in this cold day, of course, for Northern Hemisphere residents. Thank you very much for sending us this email. Yes, you live in Ivatsevichy, Belarus, and your childhood memories was great. Thank you for sharing your experiences for the Christmas, and it was great. Yes, always everyone's childhood memories are the greater and best part of people's memories, and so it was great as you described it. So you were gifted a radio receiver from an Australian SW radio station as a gift. Yes, it was great. Let me tell you one thing. IRB English Radio used to send its Christian listeners gifts, so many gifts, postcards, the souvenirs. But in the time of pandemic, unfortunately, we can't do that. Of course, after this disease is controlled around the world, then we will send all our dear listeners, especially our Christian friends who didn't receive the souvenirs of IRB English Radio in the time of pandemic, many gifts. And of course, those beautiful postcards of Iranian monuments to all our listeners around the world. But at the time, we will send you an EQSL card as a confirmation. Igor Belevich, many thanks for sending us this email. Merry Christmas to you. We wish you all the best in the new year 2022. And from Russia, we have an email from Konstantin Barsenkov. Konstantin says, dear friends, from the bottom of my heart, I wish you, your loved ones, and all your friends a happy new year, health, peace, and success in 2022. I would be very appreciated for any confirmation, including an EQSL card of my report, and thanks in advance. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Konstantin Barsenko from Russia, and I do express my appreciations to you for sending us, and of course, our dear listeners around the world, this congratulatory message on Christmas and 2022. Of course, in Iran, we Iranians celebrate our new year at the beginning of the spring. We call it Nowruz, and we have broadcast many programs on that. Anyway, we accept your congratulation message, and we wish you all the best in life. We wish you peace, love, joy, good tidings in 2022, and a very happy new year and very happy Christmas. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card. Konstantin Barsenko from Russia, thank you very much for sending us this email. After a short break, I will be back with an email from Japan from Toshio Shibata, one of our regular listeners. Stay with us, please. Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, and I'm here with another email with another congratulatory message and Christmas experience from this time from Toshio Shibata from Japan, who says, in Japan, except for Christians who account for less than 1% of the population, we do not regard Christmas as a religious event. Even in families of Buddhist temples, they have Christmas parties for children. For Japanese children, Christmas is not one night, meaning December 24th. And it is a family event. We may have a small Christmas tree in the room, have a special dinner with chicken, not turkey, and a Christmas cake. The next morning, children find presents from their parents. It is a common question to grown-ups, until what age you believed in Santa Claus? We had much more fun in New Year holidays. As my mother had 5 brothers and sisters, I had about 10 cousins of similar ages. Once a year, we got together in grandparents' home and spent holidays. Train and flight reservations for New Year 2022 are much more crowded. I hope we will be able to be back to normal life soon. I wish you the same. Salam and warmest greetings to you, Toshio Shibata, one of our old and regular listeners from Japan. I send you my gratitudes for sending us this email, and of course, thank you for sharing your Christmas experiences to us in IRB English Radio and our great listeners around the world. So, in Japan, you celebrate Christmas, and it's not just for Christians, it's for all the Japanese. Okay, it was great what you said. You have a special dinner with chicken, and you have a Christmas cake, you have Christmas tree, and that's great. So we wish you all the best in the new year 2022 and Christmas time. And thank you very much for telling us these informations about your Christmas experiences. We wish you all the best. We wish you health, peace, joy, love, and good tidings. Write to us soon, Toshio Shibata, and don't forget to tell us your views about IRB English Radio broadcast. And from India, we have a message, a congratulatory message from P.S. Sakar. Yes, P.S. Sakar from India has sent us a message. He says, dear friends at IRB English Radio, I wish all the listeners across the world for New Year to 2022. I hope the New Year will bring everyone health, prosperity, and hope for a better world. Kindly arrange to issue a QSL card. Thank you. Salam and warm greetings to you, P.S. Sakar from India. Thank you very much for sending us this message, this congratulatory message. We also wish you health, prosperity, and hope in the new year 2022. My colleagues soon will send you an EQSL card as a confirmation. So after a short break, I will be back with an email from Australia from Martin Schneider. Stay with us, please. Welcome back. Martin Steiner from Australia has sent us an email. He says, dear friends at IRIB English Radio, I would like to express my best wishes to you and the whole team of IRIB English Radio. My childhood memories of Christmas are playing in the snow without ever feeling cold, as we had so much energy as kids. Nowadays, I live in Australia and Christmas is now in the summertime. It just does not feel right. Nevertheless, we have a great time meeting all the family for a nice dinner with lots of laughter. Following the Christmas celebrations, we spend time on our beautiful beaches, go for a swim, or do fishing. Best wishes to you all. Salam and warm greetings to you, Martin Steiner from Australia. Yes, it's the environment and the atmosphere of Christmas in the Northern Hemisphere is so much different with the atmosphere of Christmas in the Southern Hemisphere. So Australians are celebrating Christmas and the New Year in the sunshine. Yes, it's different. So you live in Australia and the Christmas is in the summertime and there is no snow and you have a nice dinner with lots of laughter. You go to beautiful beaches because it's the summertime. You go for a swim or do fishing, and that's so much different with what's happening in the Northern Hemisphere. And it's a kind of it. Have fun. We wish you all the best. Merry Christmas, Martin Steiner from Australia. And we wish you and all our listeners around the world, especially our Christian friends and listeners, a very happy 2022 New Year and Christmas and all the good things in the world, especially health in the time of pandemic. And stay with us, please. And before we wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special, again, on behalf of IRIB English Radio staff, I congratulate our Christian listeners around the world, the birth anniversary of Prophet Jesus, peace upon him, and the Christmas occasion. So Merry Christmas to our Christian listeners. We wish you and all people around the world peace, love, joy, health, and good tidings on Christmas and the New Year 2022. Keep in touch with IRIB English Radio and have a good time.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Once again, our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with IRIB English Radio.
Join us in this journey, IRIB English Radio.
please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The limelight.
The most widespread symptoms of the Omicron variant now match those of common colds, with calls for the British government to update its public health messaging to include a wider number of likely COVID symptoms. We now present you an article written jointly by Jane Clinton and Dennis Campbell. The piece is titled NHS Leaders Alarmed by Rise in Hospital Admissions as COVID Cases Hit Record in UK. National Health Service leaders have voiced alarm at a major rise in the number of hospitalisations due to COVID-19 after 1,171 people with the disease across the United Kingdom were admitted in a 24-hour period that set another record number of daily cases. The latest government figures showed 122,186 cases of coronavirus had been recorded as of 9 a.m. local time on Friday, 24th of December. Another 137 people died within 28 days of testing positive. Matthew Taylor, the chief executive of the NHS Confederation, said daily hospital admissions with COVID have gone up by over 40% in recent days in England, from 815 to 1,098. And this is really worrying for health leaders whose teams are working flat out in the context of rising staff absences and wider pressures. Matthew Taylor urged the public to behave cautiously and accept invitations to get vaccinated, as despite studies showing that the new Omicron variant is less likely to leave people infected seriously unwell, this virus presents a very real risk to daily life and to the National Health Service. NHS providers, another hospital body, warned that the number of people hospitalised in London had doubled in the space of a week. Chris Hobson, its chief executive, said, "The number of COVID-19 patients in hospital is increasing by 4% overnight in England and by 8% in London." Chris Hobson added, "The overall number of COVID patients in hospital in London, the current epicentre of Omicron, is now nearly 30% of the levels we saw in the January 2021 peak, up from 15% a week ago." Chris Hobson added, "The National Health Service is already facing a number of other pressures, including high demand for accidents and emergency care, staff delivering COVID booster vaccines, major shortages of frontline personnel, and growing numbers of workers off sick due to the virus." He cautioned family gatherings over the festive period are likely to result in more older people becoming ill with the Omicron variant, adding, "The need to see what happens as larger numbers of older people start to be infected with the new variant it is likely the number of older people catching Omicron will increase given the amount of intergenerational contact over the next 72 hours of Christmas. Meanwhile, data has emerged showing COVID infection levels have reached a new record high. The Office for National Statistics, the ONS, said an estimated 1.7 million people in the United Kingdom had COVID-19 in the week ending 19th of December, the highest number since comparable figures began in autumn of 2020. The interim data published on Friday, 24th of December, also showed that about 1 in 35 people in private homes in England had COVID in the week to 19th of December, up from 1 in 45 in the 7 days to 16th of December. This is the highest estimate for England since the Office of National Statistics began estimating community infection levels for England in May of 2020 and is equivalent to about 1.5 million people. The Office of National Statistics said in London that rose to about 1 in 20 people likely to test positive for COVID-19, the highest proportion of any region in England. North East England had the lowest proportion at about 1 in 55. The Office of National Statistics also said that COVID-19 infections compatible with the Omicron variant had increased in all regions of England, with substantial regional variation, again with the highest rates in London and the South East, and the lowest in the North East of England. Sir Ian Diamond, the UK's national statistician, told the BBC the sobering figures showed really big increases in COVID cases, with London clearly the epicentre of the Omicron epidemic, with numbers going up really steeply. He added, there are increases right across England, with the slight exception of the South West, increases in Wales, in Northern Ireland and Scotland has gone up just a little bit. He said there were some indications of people engaging in safer behaviour in response to the Omicron wave, but he remained cautious. He added, at the moment I think it's far too early to suggest that we will see anything other than a continued rise. Wales, around 1 in 45 people were estimated to have had COVID-19 in the week ending 19th of December, slightly below the record of 1 in 40 in October. In Northern Ireland, the latest estimate was 1 in 40, equaling the record from mid-August, while in Scotland, the latest estimate was 1 in 65, below September's peak of 1 in 45. The latest figures come from the UK Health Security Agency Chief Executive, Dr. Jenny Harries. She said data suggesting Omicron may be less likely to lead to serious illness than the Delta variant of coronavirus offers a glimmer of Christmas hope. The UK Health Security Agency estimates that someone with Omicron is 31% to 45% less likely to attend accident and emergency and 50% to 70% less likely to be admitted to hospital than an individual with the Delta variant of the virus. But Dr. Jenny Harries said it was too early to downgrade the threat from the new strain, and more information was needed, in particular about the impact it had on elderly people and more vulnerable patients. There will be no statistics on the coronavirus cases or vaccinations on 25th and 26th of September. Daily reporting will resume on Monday, 27th of December. The British government said on Thursday, 24th of December, as of 9 a.m. local time, 119,789 lab-confirmed COVID-19 cases were recorded in the United Kingdom. The most widespread symptoms of the Omicron variant now match those of common colds, with calls for the British government to upgrade its public health messaging to include a wider number of likely COVID symptoms. According to the study's most recent analysis of confirmed cases in London, the most common symptoms reported among users of the Zoe COVID app have been a running nose, headaches, fatigue, sneezing, and sore throats. Half of those reporting cold-like symptoms also tested positive for COVID, with no clear difference in the symptoms recorded for the Delta or Omicron infections. But according to the Zoe analysis, only about half of infected users also reported the classic three symptoms of fever, cough, or loss of sense of smell or taste. The Zoe analysis was supported by the SAGE Committee of Scientific Advisors at a meeting held on Thursday, 23rd of December. The committee said there was preliminary evidence of changes in symptoms accompanying Omicron infections, as loss of taste or smell seemed to be reported less frequently. Professor Tim Spector, lead scientist on the Zoe COVID study, said public messaging needed to acknowledge that COVID symptoms would appear more like a common cold to many of those infected. Professor Tim Spector said he was shocked by what he called misinformation in the government's latest stay-at-home guidance about the symptoms of COVID. He said, "Zoe data clearly shows that the most important symptoms are no longer a new continuous cough, a high temperature, or loss of taste or loss of smell." Professor Spector, a professor of genetic epidemiology at King's College London, told the Press Association news agency, "For most people, an Omicron positive case will feel much more like the common cold, starting with a sore throat, runny nose, and a headache. You only need to ask a friend who has recently tested positive to find this out." He noted, "We need to change public messaging urgently to save lives, as half of people with cold-like symptoms now have COVID." You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies: 49 meters, 6040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or BAD 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.com/en. And now you can listen to RIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
همه با وجود قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم.
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor, Israel.
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Martyrdom is the best deal one can strike with God.
This is the part of the speech delivered on October 16th, 2021 in a meeting with the officials in charge of the martyrs of Zanjan commemoration ceremony. The commemoration ceremony was held on October 28th, 2021. Services rendered in centers run by the people and even in their homes.
There are also other services that are provided by the people. One of the things that I cannot claim with certainty now, but I believe can be said, is one of the characteristics that is unique to our country and the war we fought is the services that we have carried out in homes, in women's centers, in public places and the like. For example, they cooked food in houses, canned fruits, provided food supplies, baked bread, and sent these to the front lines. These are astonishing things. With what motivation and with what determination did these men and women do these actions? I recently read a book called A Pool of Blood. Although I saw it in Ahvaz, I saw myself the places where people would wash the bloody clothes of the soldiers and the bloody sheets of the soldiers in the hospitals. These things have been written about in detail in this book. One is truly surprised. One feels embarrassed when one sees all the services that these women carried out over these years and what hardships they endured. These are subjects that can be worked on.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united. The need to study the funeral ceremonies held for martyrs.
You can also address martyrs' funeral ceremonies. One of the subjects that has been neglected, not been paid attention to so far, and should receive more attention, is the funeral ceremonies of the martyrs during the war and at the present time. At the present time too, when they bring the bones of a martyr into a city, a magnificent funeral ceremony is held. Every few days during the war, in different cities, in Zanjan and elsewhere, huge funerals were held. Poets would compose poems and elegies, and people would beat their chests in memory of martyrs. This is unprecedented in the whole world. These are astonishing, memorable events that should be recorded and preserved. Another issue is the naming of streets and roads in cities. Cities should be decorated with the names of memories of martyrs. The city councils in different cities should know the names of the people the city is proud of. What honor is higher for a city, for a street, for a road and an alley than that the name of a great martyr, the name of a man of sacrifice, be put on it?
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years I've been lost. Guiding me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope.